Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco, and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to thesportsvirus.com and our Inside China Basin podcast. And we are live here at Toscalito Tire and Automotive in San Francisco at 2342 Lombard Street. So come by and join us and get some free T-shirts. We've got hot dogs. We've got peanuts. And we're talking Giants baseball after the home opener win over the Los Angeles Dodgers. And this is our normal podcast with John Shea, in addition to being live on Facebook for the first time.
Buster Posey.
Yeah, those of you listening to the podcast can't see this, but there's a great setup here. We've got bobbleheads, Buster Posey, Angel Pagan, Hunter Pence, all kinds of bobbleheads set up for us. Big Cat Advertising doing a great job setting this up. Gail Peterson, our camera person as well, doing everything for us here. And, you know, we're talking Giants baseball. It was a great win for the Giants, John Shea, in the home opener. And some people were saying, okay, this game's over. It was 4-0. The Dodgers were hitting Jake Peavy really hard. But the Giants are showing that they're a different type of team this year than they were in past years, where they counted on pitching and they wouldn't come back very often. This team looks like it's going to be able to score runs in bunches.
The Dodgers were one run away from tying a major league record. The 63 Cardinals opened their season with 32 scoreless innings. I mean, granted, it was the Padres. They beat up on them down south. But they came in strong. Alex Wood, 4 shutout innings. I mean, these are the mighty, powerful Giants, who one of the best offenses in baseball, right? And Henry Schulman, our beat writer, leaned over to me and said, you know, you got to do a Dodger story because they're going to break this record. I said, well, hold off. It might be 7-4 in 10 minutes. And, well, it was 7-4 in 10 minutes because the Giants in the bottom of the fifth had a big rally, so it ended the Dodgers' pursuit of the record. And then they had another rally and then another rally, and suddenly it was 12-6. And it just goes to show you that this offense is as – anticipated, powerful, up and down. There's no weak spots. There's no reason to pinch hit for these guys. 1 through 8 or 1 through 7 plus 9, because Bochy hits his pitcher 8th, is as good as any in the National League right now, I think.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about that game too is it seemed like there were going to be little plays that were really going to be meaningful that didn't really matter later on. But when you looked at that double play, the Joe Panic situation, and you wrote about this, you know, you talked to Joe Panic, it just seemed like a normal double play. He's straddling second base, and we'll talk more about the rule later, but just about that play, Panic was pretty much caught off guard that he would be called for the neighborhood play there, that he wasn't touching second upon further review, and at the time that seemed like a big play.
The interesting thing, and I spoke with Joe about this after the game, they put this rule into effect February 5th, and he admitted he did not practice it, never took into account in his mind the rule when he was working on pivots throughout spring training in the first week of the season, because he always thought he was close enough to the bag when he tagged it with the ball. But sure enough, now they review that. So he steps off on the feed from Crawford, but he stepped off too early, and they called him on it, and the Dodgers got a whole lot of momentum there. Scored their second run, and that's where it ended, though, because they stranded runners on after that that last run scored. They scored 4 more to go up 4-0. But, yeah, that Panic play was pretty instrumental, and it's kind of historic because that's a new rule. And Joe Panic and every other infielder in the major league spent their whole life since youth ball thinking, well, the neighborhood play, I just got to get close. To avoid the runner, I don't need to hang on the bag so long. Well, now you do.
Well, wasn't it appropriate that it would happen in a game that Chase Utley was playing in? Of course. I mean, there also was a call where running down the first baseline, Denard Span was not running in that box. You don't see that very often where he's hit by the throw, and you would think a major leaguer would run in the box. I mean, you're taught from a young age, run in that box, but he's not running in it. He gets hit, and I mean, I don't think there's really much of an argument on that play. That's runner interference.
Yeah, there was no dispute at all, and that's pretty rare. I mean, here's a guy who's been in the big leagues. He's been a leadoff hitter. But again, the umpires seem to just be eagle-eyed a lot more and more. I mean, every other month there's a new rule being implemented, and they're under guard. I mean, they're judged. Eddie Montague was at the game. He was in the clubhouse. He was in the manager. He's a former big league manager, Bay Area guy, you know, swell person and all, but he's there to watch the umpires, to judge the umpires, to report to New York. How did they do? Well, we have facts that maybe this guy didn't do well, so now we got to review that and tell him you got to pick it up. You got to have a better strike zone. You got to be in better position to call that out or safe at first base, et cetera. So, which is good, right? If they have rules, you might as well call them right.
We'll continue the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle from our on-site podcast at Toscalito Tire and Automotive right after this.
You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Giants games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. No torture at Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Let's talk about the Giants' rotation because, you know, Jeff Samardzija wasn't great. Jake Peavy definitely wasn't great. There were a lot of hard-hit balls in that game. You know, I don't know that you look at this rotation and say that it's great. I mean, I think there are question marks. I think the lineup is terrific. You know, they look like a team that can go a long way this year, no doubt. But and you've got Bumgarner, who's definitely going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. And Cueto was really good. But the rest of the rotation is filled with question marks, in my opinion. John, I mean, Samardzija, he's got to show that he's not what he was last year. And, you know, Peavy getting hit hard there. I mean, there were times in spring training where he didn't look good either. And I know that's spring training. And now Matt Cain will be the big question. What Matt Cain are we going to get?
Yeah, well, I think Chris Heston is going to start some games this year, quite a few. I mean, no offense to Dave Rigetti and Bruce Bochy, but listen, your four or five guys have a recent history of injuries. The first game for Jake Peavy was not good. Matt Cain, the fifth starter, he's actually looked pretty good in spring training the last couple outings. He had a slow start because some minor surgery, and he had fewer outings than others. But, yeah, you know what? I have a lot of faith in Samardzija, though. I mean, if you remember Samardzija with the A's in 2014. Yeah. He had the real good start in Chicago. He was dealt over here. He would have been the next to go probably in the playoffs if the A's ever got beyond the first game, the wild card bout against Kansas City. So, he looked pretty good when he amped it up late in spring training. And he throws hard. He's a competitor. He's got a track record. I don't have any problem with him. And Cueto, if you look at him, he's got a real need to succeed in these first 2 years because he has an out, you know, like Greinke did. And when you have an out after 2 years, you want to give your best 2 years because then you go on to the next level of free agency. And we know what Greinke got with the Diamondbacks. So, hey, if he leaves after 2 years, after two All-Star seasons, the Giants wouldn't mind, right? They wouldn't be on the hook for the rest of the $130 million. So then you have, at the back end, you have Peavy and you have Cain. And those, I think, are the question marks. You know, until further notice, all eyes are going to be on them, and they've got to succeed because they have Chris Heston on deck waiting maybe in some time in May if they're not effective.
Yeah, I think he'll be a good reliever in the meantime, and he threw a no-hitter last year. And you got Clayton Blackburn in the minor leagues who looked good in spring training. So, you know, maybe it's not a problem spot as much as I think right now. Maybe it could be. And Samardzija, I mean, he's got great stuff. It's just a matter of, you know, being able to pitch in a National League park again. Maybe that helps him.
Who's that?
Samardzija.
Samardzija, yeah. The thing with Samardzija is just like Peavy is so much more effective in National League parks. Peavy, remember him from San Diego. Then he goes to Boston. He was 1-9, then comes back here, and he's effective 2 years ago. Last year he had one bad half and then one good half, and he's healthy. That's the thing with these Giants. The biggest thing is their health. Zero guys on the DL. The Dodgers have 10.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in our on-site podcast at Toscalito Tire and Automotive in San Francisco right after this.
The spirit of Rose Pistola, a fiery bartender in 1950s North Beach, is still alive with the restaurant that bears her name. Doors to this North Beach institution opened in 1996, and since then, it has become a must visit for locals and world travelers alike. Guests can share house-made pastas, crispy wood-fired pizzas, and classic Italian desserts prepared by Chef Steve Walker 7 days a week. Grab a seat at the bar and sip some grappa. Join Rose Pistola for happy hour offered at the bar weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. Live jazz trios perform Thursday through Sunday nights. It's the perfect setting for large groups seeking a lively lunch, brunch, or dinner. Rose Pistola is conveniently located around the corner from Beach Blanket Babylon at 532 Columbus Avenue. Join Rose Pistola as they celebrate 20 years.
Let's talk about the Giants roster. And, you know, it's not like you had a big decision here or there to make. You pretty much knew what the roster was. But I think that there's one spot that's kind of being wasted a little bit. And you tell me what you think, John. I mean, I'm not a general manager, but I wouldn't have Adrianz on that roster. And I know he's out of options, so you'd lose him.
Right.
And that's always tough. And it's the same thing with Corey Guerin. You'd lose him if he wasn't in the bullpen. Do you need 13 pitchers? Well, the schedule's rough early on. There aren't many days off early on. So you probably need the 13 pitchers. But it seems like they're in a tough spot as far as pinch hitting. You know, if they really need a good at-bat at the end of the game, you got Gregor Blanco, or if Blanco's playing, maybe it's Pagan. But that's it. I mean, Kelby Tomlinson is a nice utility player, but he hasn't done a lot of pinch hitting in his life. We'll see if he's good at that. And I don't think Adrianz is somebody that's a real threat. So I think down the road, I'd like to see Mack Williamson or Jared Parker, guys who, you know, look really good in spring training. They have the power. Or a veteran guy that could come off that bench. What do you think? I know I'm kind of, you know, nitpicking here for a team that looks so good with their lineup, but what about the bench?
First of all, who would you pinch hit for?
Yeah, it's usually going to be the pitcher. And then, you know, it's eighth inning. Yeah. It's you know, you need to pinch hit for your pitcher. Yeah. Who's a big bopper coming off that bench? You don't really have it.
Well, you're talking Parker, you're talking Williamson. Two big boppers, potentially. There are two things about those guys. And with Tomlinson or with Williamson, he hasn't even had a full season in AAA. They really want him to go down there and play every day instead of sit on the bench and get two or three at-bats a week because they like him. They like his all-around game, his arm, his defense, his ability to go to all fields, and the way he makes contact. Parker, on the other hand, isn't a great contact hitter. We saw in September how much power he has, but this team is based on making contact, put the ball in play, take your chances. And Parker is not like that. And he told me in spring training, he says, hey, that's just me. I'm going to strike out. It was somewhat disturbing if I'm the Giants to hear that because they want contact guys. Even their power guys are contact guys. Hunter Pence, Buster Posey, they hit the ball. They don't strike out a lot. So I think they need Parker to get more contact in AAA. They need Williamson to get more playing time in AAA. So, yeah, there is redundancy at the major league level. You have Tomlinson and Adrianza. They're kind of the same guy.
Right.
They can play around the infield. Tomlinson is a much better hitter. Adrianza maybe a more fluid shortstop, though Tomlinson looked good in spring training at short. I just don't think it's a four-man bench, and that's screwed. I mean, that's not good. They have a backup catcher, two infielders, and one fourth outfielder. And that's not deep. But, like you said, they play a lot in April. 22 out of the first 23 days, they play baseball. And with Peavy and Kane at the back end, they might need a whole lot of relief. They certainly did in the Peavy game. So who knows about Kane? That's to be determined. So until further notice, it's a smaller bench with Bochy doesn't like. He came into spring training saying, I want five on my bench. Well, then he reversed his decision, and now it's only four. And he said that was tough because I wanted I wanted five. And eventually, when we get into May, I think you'll have five.
Well, and I think I don't want to knock Tomlinson. He might turn into a great pinch hitter. But when you have these young players, and you mentioned that's really the knock on having a Williamson or a Parker too,
yeah,
is that they need to get at bats. They can't just be the pinch hitter. I mean, Gregor Blanco seems to be perfect for this role. He's experienced now. He knows what he's doing. Trevor Brown even told me that almost every day he comes up to the other guys on the bench and says, you know, here's how we do this, you know, thinking about being a pinch hitter and not playing every day. And I think that's kind of an underrated role on a team, that the Giants have one guy right now that can do that.
Gregor Blanco.
Yeah.
He is so valuable. If you look at the postseasons in 12 and 14, what number four outfielder got so much time? He played for Melky every day in left field once Melky went down in September. And when Pagan couldn't make it in October of 2014, it was Blanco who played center field. So he's not really a fourth outfielder. I mean, he hits well, he defends very well, and he runs the bases super. So it's a great asset the Giants have to have that guy. But the problem is he's a free agent after the season, and they better lock him up for a couple more years. But I think he might be looking elsewhere. He might be looking at an opportunity to play every day somewhere else.
We'll continue the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
How about the lineup? And by the way, we have a question here. A free T-shirt goes to Eric Thuner for asking this question. Every week during the season, we'll take a question that we really like, and we'll use it, and you get a free T-shirt. So you have nothing to lose. We should show the T-shirt at some point on Facebook viewers, but it's a cool T-shirt, sportsvirus.com. Anyway, from Eric is, do you think Pagan should bat third? You know, he's a switch hitter with speed. And then he says that he'd like to have Denard Span, Panic, Pagan, Posey, Pence, Belt, Crawford, Duffy, Bumgarner. Now, that's totally different than what Bruce Bochy's going with. He's got the pitcher batting eighth right now. And I don't know. I mean, when you have Bumgarner as your hitter there, it seems to make sense. Otherwise, I don't know. I think Brandon Crawford gets the raw end of the deal here. If he's batting seventh and the pitcher's eighth, it's like he's batting eighth again.
It sure
and
is.
Pitchers, and in that Dodger game, there was a situation with first base open. He wasn't going to get anything to hit because the pitcher was behind him, and it wasn't Bumgarner. It was Peavy.
And how many home runs did Crawford hit last year, and what award did he win, the Silver Slugger?
Right.
Where's the respect? I mean,
right.
Bochy admitted, say, hey, listen, he's the most experienced hitter in front of the pitcher, so I'm going to stick him there. Belt doesn't have that, and I think maybe in a way they're kind of interchangeable. Right now you could put Crawford ahead of Duffy and Belt behind Duffy in that 5-6-7 alignment. But Belt doesn't have that experience, and Crawford does. And it's not like Crawford complains about it. Sure, he wishes he might be able to hit elsewhere in the lineup so he could get better pitches. But he had a fairly good year last year. Hit over 250 for the first time, all the home runs. But going back to the question, I don't agree with that because Angel Pagan has not done it in the last 2 years.
No.
Not consistently. And you know what? I had a long conversation with him on the eve of opening day, and he told me he didn't say this, but from the interview, my conclusion was he's got a lot to prove on three issues. You know, number one is health. And he proved in spring training when he has his legs, he can play. He can run, he can hit, he can field. Number two, he wants to prove that he could play left field. It's a big, major transition from him. And a lot of pride involved. He's a center fielder who wanted to play center field. Then they got Denard Span for $31 million. You're playing left field or you're not playing. He said, okay, I'll play left field. And then he kind of relearned the position in spring training. He played it with the Mets a little bit. And number three is the nine hole, learning to succeed at the bottom of the lineup when he's had a history of leading off. And he told me he's fine with everything. He's fine with hitting ninth. He's fine with playing left field because he's healthy. And this is a walk year for him. He'll be a free agent at the end of the season. So what's he going to do, complain and bicker and pout and not play well? Or kind of suck it up and join the team? And that's what he's doing. So Bochy had a long talk with him. it was a sensitive issue because it's a center fielder being displaced, he's the leadoff hitter being displaced. And now he looks good. He can, you know, so far so good. Knock on wood for him, but he's got to stay healthy to, you know, continue playing like this.
Yeah, it looks like his legs are healthy, which is definitely a big deal. You know, when I think about the Giants, too, as far as most indispensable player, it's obvious it's Buster Posey. You can't lose Buster Posey. He might be, you know, in baseball, he's one of the top as far as that's concerned. Yeah. But what about besides him? I used to think it was Pagan because you always saw that record. You always saw the record with Pagan and without Pagan, but not anymore. Now I think it's Crawford because I think Crawford does so much for you in the lineup. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to lose him at shortstop in his defense. You know, just go around the entire team. For me, it's Crawford. I mean, do you agree or do you have another guy that is most
I could go Crawford. I could go Madison Bumgarner. Go back to the last World Series. It was Bumgarner and
everybody
four
else.
Guys. Who,
right.
You pick them. You know, throw them out there. They're not doing well. Bumgarner did well every time he pitched, and they used him in relief in Game 7. He shut the door over five innings. I mean, it was unbelievable. That's an impact. Unlike Crawford, he doesn't play every day. And Crawford's a middle infielder. He might as well be a captain. They haven't had a captain probably since Mays, so they don't do that stuff. But if pitchers were to annoy the captain, I think it would be, if not Buster, it would be Crawford. Because Crawford, if you noticed in some of these games, he's the guy who comes out to the mound and, you know, he slowed down some margin. Hey, you're amped up a little much. And Crawford, he's got that cool vibe, right?
Definitely does, yeah.
So he can relate to anybody. And pitchers look at him play defense. I better listen to that guy. He's taking care of me every other ball
right.
I throw here. So, yeah, I mean, you could go a couple of different ways on that.
Reminder that we're here at Toscalito Tire and Automotive. We've got the live Facebook broadcast as part of our podcast, and we have two podcasts actually going on. We'll have another one for Wednesday, which is coming up in a minute here, a few minutes. But before we finish this actual podcast, I wanted to. And by the way, we're in San Francisco on Lombard Street at the Toscalito. There are other locations in San Rafael, and there's another one here in the city and Vallejo. So they're all over the place when you need new tires, and they're not just a tire store, by the way. Full service auto repair and other service. Wanted to ask you also about the bullpen. And so far, so good. You got great arms in there, Strickland, Osich. So these guys should be great. But I'm wondering about Sergio Romo being allowed to face lefties in a close game. He gave up that home run to Peterson yesterday. I actually was surprised to see that he didn't give up any home runs to lefties last year. I was sort of shocked by looking at that. But lefties hit .371 against him last year. That's a high number. I don't know that Bruce Bochy can trust him to face lefty. So, you know, how do you look at that bullpen now? No more Jeremy Affeldt. It's definitely a little different.
I think George Contos might fill in the role that Affeldt has left for this team. Affeldt could do a lot of things. You can go shorty, go long, face lefties, face righties. So valuable. And, you know, I'm not sure Josh Osich is up to that yet. He might be a one-inning reliever for now, but you know what? He throws pretty hard, like Strickland. This kind of a new wave of relievers, this so-called core four with Lopez, Affeldt, and Romo, and Santiago Casilla. You know, they're low 90s, you know, some cases high 80s.
Right.
Maybe Casilla back in the day could amp it up to 95. But these guys come in. I mean, every bullpen has, you know, you go to Kansas City, you go to so many other bullpens, and the A's now have this across the bay. They got guys who throw in the high 90s. And so that's where Osich is, that's where Strickland is, and that's a difference maker. That makes up for a lot of faults. Strickland in the postseason against Washington, maybe not so. But that was a couple of years ago, and he's evolved. He mixes it up a little better, doesn't tip his pitches. And I think he's going to be valuable. But you're right. This bullpen, I think, is the most – it's got the most questions beyond the rotation, beyond the lineup, certainly beyond the overall offense or bench, is those three remaining guys of the core four are well into their late 30s. Romo, a little younger, but Lopez and Casilla, they're way up there. And more prone to injury, effectiveness, who knows, that's to be determined. So that's where Osich and Strickland really have to come up, and Contos has proven himself. So I think there's a lot of pressure on those two young arms, but I think maybe those two guys will make or break this bullpen this year.
Yeah, we may end up seeing, you talk about power arms, may see Ray Black, who pitched in San Jose last year. He throws over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw him in spring training.
Yeah, I did.
And Jake Smith is another guy who throws high 90s, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, I mean, it's the wave, of the, it's the future. It's what you're seeing in bullpens all around baseball. It's the hardest these guys are throwing since the early 2000s when they got some help.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part one of our two-part conversation at Toscalito Tire and Automotive in San Francisco. You can hear part two on Wednesday. Join us again Monday for another San Francisco Giants podcast here on thesportsvirus.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.